just a few minutes to just think about the events that we remember at this time of the year. Preachers usually have a text, but because it's Christmas, I thought we'd have two texts. The first one is one everybody knows. I think it's been voted the most popular verse in the Bible, or the most well-known verse of the Bible. And of course you've got it, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the second one is the last verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And that says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Paul has been talking or writing to the Corinthians about some folk in Macedonia, Christians in Macedonia. And they were having a hard time, really hard time. But they'd heard about Christians in Jerusalem who are having an even harder time. And so these Macedonians, in the midst of all their poverty and oppression and difficulty, they'd managed to collect up an offering and send it to the Christians in Jerusalem. And Paul was so impressed by this. And he speaks in chapter 9 earlier on than the verse that I'm quoting. He speaks of the way that he's actually boasting to the Corinthians as he writes to them. He's boasting about the generosity of the folk in Macedonia, the way in which they had collected all these things and had been able to give this gift to the poor Christians there in Jerusalem. And it seems that as it comes to an end of this boasting about their generosity, suddenly he thinks, but actually, there's an even greater gift. And he bursts out in verse 15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. It's a more wonderful gift than all the scraping together that the Macedonians had done, generous though that was, all the hardship they'd overcome. More wonderful that is the gift that Paul is thinking about. And he bursts out, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. But what is this gift? People have debated what Paul's referring to, but I think most commentators agree. It can only be the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is that gift? You remember John 3:16, the other text I was quoting? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting light. He just suddenly fastened onto that in his mind, Paul, and he thought, what must it have cost God? What must it have cost the courts of heaven to be deprived of the Son and for him to come into the world? And then the way in which he was treated, his life and his death. What must it have cost? And so he says, an even greater gift. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Now you may think, well, that's got nothing to do with me. I'm not really of that way of thinking. But let me remind you of what it says there in John 3:16. God so loved the world. That's everybody. Yes, he has a very special love for those who do trust him and become his followers. But God gave that gift because of his love for the world. And that, whether you feel you have an interest in it or not, that includes you. God so loved the world. You. He so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just think about that. Some of you were parents. Some of you one day will be parents. Could you give a child away? Could you give a child away if it was your only child? Could you give your only child away knowing that the purpose was that he would die a terrible death? Could you give your only child away knowing that he'd die a terrible death for people like you and me? You know, beside God, what are we? We're worms down in the dirt. And yet, this is what that first text tells us. God so loved you. Put yourself there. God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's an amazing gift. Small wonder that Paul cries out, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. That word unspeakable, what it really means in the original is words, language isn't adequate to describe the wonder of this gift, that God the Creator should give his Son. It's words are not powerful enough. It's an unspeakable gift. I can't gather the words, says Paul, to describe the wonder, the majesty of this gift. And remember that, as we were saying when we were reading the passage earlier, this was something that had been prophesied 700 years earlier. This was God's determined purpose. He purposed it down through history that one day he would rescue people, men and women like you and I, who'd fallen into all sorts of depraved ways of living. He'd rescue them. And he'd pay the price of giving his Son. And we read there, didn't we, in Matthew about how the event came about. This birth of the Lord Jesus. And how it was that the shepherds came. And they found, just as the angels had said, the angels had told them that it would be glad tidings of great joy. And they came and they actually met. They actually met this Saviour, a baby at that time. And they went away praising God for all the things that they'd seen and heard. They saw something of the wonder of it. And later on, we read, didn't we, that he would be described as a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, in that prophecy of Isaiah. And we remember how they debated with him, how they sent people to arrest him. And they failed to arrest him. And when they were asked, the soldiers were asked, why didn't you arrest him? They said, because never man spake like this man. You remember how we came to the crucifixion and the centurion who supervised the execution of this innocent man. And at the close of it all, when he'd seen him dismiss his spirit, he says, truly this was the Son of God. Just as prophesied back there in the book of Isaiah, all falling into place, just as had been expected. And then you remember how later on still, John, the writer of the Gospel of John, he says, in the beginning was the Word. He calls Jesus the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. And he goes on and he says, we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Remember John 3:16? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And John says, I saw him in his epistle. I touched him. I knew him. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. All of these things, they happened just as Isaiah had prophesied. But you know, that's not the end. Because it goes on. And as we look into the future, there are more blessings. Let me read some verses for you from Revelation chapter 7. And one of the elders answered, said unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, referring to this Lord Jesus. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell amongst them. They'll one day be with this glorious Son for all the eternity of the future. And it goes on, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And as Paul was writing there to the Corinthians, and remembering the saving and the gift that Macedonians had made to those poor Christians in Jerusalem, and boasting of their generosity, he thinks of this remarkable gift. And he cries out, thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto God for this unspeakable gift. And you know, this morning, we've been showing that this is for you, not the person next to you. This is for you. And this is your chance to join Paul and to cry out, thank you, Lord. Thanks be unto God for this unspeakable gift given for me. Make that your prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, we just skim over some of the wonders of the birth and the life and the death and the resurrection and the ascension of our glorious Saviour, thy Son, given that whosoever believeth might have everlasting life. Oh, help us, our Father, we pray, each one of us, to join Paul and to thank thee for thine unspeakable gift, and to make him our Saviour, that we might be accepted in the Beloved, that we might have that inheritance that fadeth not away, that we might have that prospect of an eternity spent with our Saviour in glory. And in his name we ask it. Amen. We turn to our last hymn, and I confess it's not a carol, but it seems appropriate to what we've been thinking about. 235, give me a sight, O Saviour. That's what Paul, in a sense, had. He just had a glimpse of what God had done in that great gift. Give me a sight, O Saviour, of thy wondrous love to me, of the love that brought thee down to earth to die at Calvary. 235. Make those words that we've just been singing our prayer. Oh, make me understand it. Help me to take it in, what it meant to thee, the Holy One, to bear away my sin. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us and abide with us now and evermore. Amen.